Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome. Welcome to this gathering, the invitation to come and to gather in this space, in this place, to worship. I invite you just for a moment to look around, and it's okay to look around, at those who are gathered with you, those who have come into this space and accepted the invitation. Look around. See who's around you. You probably want to do it when you hear those wonderful voices singing behind you anyway. So take a look around. Just note who is here. And also note who is not here. Some of those who have gone before us. Some of those who have gone already on the journey home. Some of those who were unable to attend. And we will remember those as we go through this service. I would like to invite us to begin to shift our attention now to those who are gathered, to the one who is gathered among us, Jesus Christ. The God who is present, the God whom we come to worship, the God who invites us to come and to gather.
Please join me in prayer. O God, from whom every gift is received, we gather to worship you this day. You are an awesome God, greater than our comprehension or our imagination. You are beyond any word we could ever use to describe you. And yet, we know the intimacy of your vast love. We have come to you in thanksgiving and praise to know that you are God. Enlarge our vision this hour with your word. Instill in us again your hope in place of despair, your peace where hatred threatens, your joy amidst depression, your love overwhelming apathy. May your Holy Spirit surround and dwell in this community now and forevermore. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Please stand and turn to the litany in the front cover of your worship booklet. Shout with joy to God, all the earth.
Sing our praises to God.
Say to God, how awesome are your deeds.
All the earth will worship you.
Come, let us sing praises to God.
Come and see what God has done.
How awesome his works in our behalf.
Come, let us rejoice in him.
He rules forever by his power.
Praise our God, O people.
Let the sound of his praise be heard. You, O God, have preserved my life
and kept my feet from slipping.
You have tested me
and refined me like silver.
You have brought me into prison
and laid burdens on my back.
I went through fire and water,
but you brought me to a place of abundance.
I come to your table with offerings.
I will fulfill the vows made to you when I was in trouble.
Come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me.
The love of God is greater than tongue can tell. We praise and worship and honor and glorify your name.
Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Venez à moi, vous tous qui êtes fatigués et chargés, et je vous donnerai du repos. Prenez mon joug sur vous et recevez mes instructions, car je suis doux et humble de cœur, et vous trouverez du repos pour vos âmes. Car mon joug est doux et mon fardeau est léger.
Vengan a mí todos ustedes que están cansados y agobiados, y yo les daré descanso. Carguen con mi yugo y aprendan de mí, pues yo soy apacible y humilde de corazón. Y encontrarán descanso para su alma, porque mi yugo es suave y mi carga es liviana.
Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly.
This weekend, we've been honored to recognize Nadine Brunk, class of 1975, with EMU's Distinguished Service Award. After a visit to Haiti in 2000, Nadine, a certified nurse midwife, developed a vision and a passion for women of Haiti and their health care. And as a founder of Midwives for Haiti, she is collaborating with Haitian colleagues to make a significant and lasting impact for women and babies in Haiti. And with this recognition, we honor Nadine's passion, compassion, tireless work, commitment, and vision. We celebrate her work to join with community and government leaders in Haiti to improve outcomes for women and children in that nation. Nadine embodies EMU's mission to prepare graduates to serve and lead in a global context. Welcome and congratulations.
When Doug Nice sent me the scripture for this morning about Jesus saying that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, I thought, how am I supposed to fit our work in Haiti with anything related to my yoke is easy and my burden is light? Really, Jesus, what were you thinking of? Were you thinking of women when you said that? There is nothing so far from a light burden that women carry in this world. Many years ago, I could have heard that and believed you. I did not know that each day the equivalent of 5 jumbo jets full of women die from complications of pregnancy and childbirth, and you don't hear about it in the news. I was raised on a dairy farm in Ohio in a Mennonite family, and I did not know anyone who had died in childbirth. I did not know that women from around the world are victims of sex trafficking, pornography, twisted religions that give them no power, politics that make it difficult for them to have access to birth control, and most of all, that their chances of dying in childbirth and leaving their children as orphans are as high as 1 in 7 in Niger, 1 in 11 in Afghanistan, 1 in 17 in Haiti, compared to 1 in 4,800 here in the United States. Here in the U.S., the expectation of a baby in my family is one of great joy and hope. But in Haiti, the focus is on survival and hoping that the mother and baby will live through the many complications that are brought on by poor nutrition, malaria, worms, early hypertension, lack of prenatal care, lack of transportation, and a lack of skilled birth attendants. The World Health Organization has, after years of trying many other tactics, determined that in developing countries, the difference between life and death for women is a skilled birth attendant present during their pregnancy and birth. A skilled birth attendant has the knowledge and the equipment to give the woman the kind of care that prevents complications in pregnancy and has the ability to educate women and care for women, knows what to do to if they are carried to them in seizures from untreated hypertension, from infections, from labors that are too long, from excessive bleeding that is brought on by the anemia caused by worms, malaria, severe malnutrition, or all three. I thought of the burden that this project has placed on my life and those who serve on the board of directors, my family, my friends, my coworkers, and thought, really, Jesus, give me a break. Make this burden light, I beg you. But when I stopped to hear Jesus reply to me and felt his great love for me and for the women we serve, I thought of all the people who have helped to carry this burden, who support me, who carry this project, have carried this project to places I never thought it would go. I remember the doctor in my church who first took me to Haiti, who sits here this morning, who has never had a doubt that we could make a difference, a friend at church, who took on the task of getting our 501c3 status and running our board meetings, an obstetrician who works with me in Richmond, who believes this is the most meaningful work he has ever done and can fundraise in ways I never could, co-workers who give their pennies to make a difference. I remember Father Jock, the priest in Inch, who begged us to stay, to continue when things seemed impossible, who begged us to teach midwives, who paved the way for us to getting legal with the Ministry of Health and getting Dr. Raphael's signatures on our diplomas. I remember the hundreds of people across the country who have given small amounts of money that end up adding up to enough money for us to pay two Haitian teachers to carry the burden of teaching the students. I remember my niece's chance meeting in the back of an airplane with Dan Ziegler, a Mennonite from Harleysville, Pennsylvania, who said, "I build Jeeps for Haiti." And when it became apparent that we needed one of his Jeeps to get prenatal care on a regular basis to women in rural Haiti who live over the river and across the previously impassable roads, there was a Rotary Club who said, "Let us help you get that Jeep," and a Catholic sister who said, "I know where to get you money for the rest of it." That Jeep is between New York Port and St. Mark in Haiti as we speak, and I'm trying to not carry the burden of how it's going to get through customs. I remember the over 300 midwives from across the U.S., Canada, the U.K., and Ireland who have volunteered with our program to support the Haitian teachers and encourage the students when they are struggling. I remember our students who leave their homes each morning and somehow arrive at class at 8 a.m. immaculate and shining in their pink scrubs. They did this without access to running water or ironing boards. From breakfast, they cooked over their charcoal fires, then put the charcoal in the hollow iron to press their scrubs. Their bellies are never quite full, but they always start the day with a prayer and a hymn, and with grateful hearts and joy that they are getting this education, that they will have jobs to support their families, and that they have the tools to save the lives of women in their community. On November 14th, I will be in Haiti, and we will graduate our third class of skilled birth attendants in Inch, Haiti. I will sit there, and I will feel the presence of Jesus. The graduates will thank God for the opportunity for a free education, for their teachers, who are both American and Haitian, for the Americans who have made it possible for them to learn how to save the lives of their neighbors and cousins and sisters. They know what it means to receive mercy, and they in turn will give mercy and lift the burdens of hundreds of women in their lifetime. I will feel lifted as I have by being here on this campus that nurtured me as a student nurse, as an instructor in nursing, and while I was in midwifery school. I will feel blessed to do this work, to know these caring and wonderful and strong women. And as I listen to them sing, and they do love to sing, I will know, my dear Lord Jesus, that this yoke is easy and this burden is light.
Thank you, Nadine. And I believe you told me on Friday that that Jeep is pink. Hot pink, she says. In honor of the pink scrubs that many of these medical personnel wear. I'd love to see that pink Jeep sometime. We're also proud this weekend to welcome back to campus and to honor Dwight Gingrich, class of 1981, as EMU's Alumnus of the Year. Dwight has coached boys basketball at Iowa Mennonite School for 28 years. His winning record, which exceeds now 500 as of this past year, and continues, and he tells me he's anticipating a good season again this year, has been recognized locally and at the state level. His caring work as a vice principal and guidance counselor and his volunteer work in his local community have touched hundreds, if not thousands, of young people's lives. And with his success, Dwight might have moved on to bigger things. We honor and celebrate today that Dwight has continued his long-term work with high school students at Iowa Mennonite, the positive influence he has had, and the lives he has shaped. Help me to welcome and to congratulate Dwight.
Thank you. Thank you, President Schwarzendruber, Mr. Nice, my colleague Larry Schwarzendruber, who nominated me, and thank you to the Alumni Committee who worked through this process. It is with gratefulness and appreciation that I accept the award. I have been wondering if maybe the real reason, though, that I was selected for this award was because of the first initials of our children's first names, E, M, and C. Their names, Eli, Michaela, and Caleb. It's called being a loyal royal. We are still working on a name change for Caleb. Ulysses, we're not sure how to say it, so I think we'll just stay with Caleb. Honestly, though, that was an accident. We didn't really try that. It just happened. Maybe something subconscious at work. We're not sure. Mo is a Goshen and Heston grad, so this weekend's been a bit of a stretch for her to come this far from home. I always enjoy having a chance to, and I do want to thank Doug Nice and the Alumni Committee for giving Mo, our children, and me a great weekend here at EMU. It's been our first trip with our children here. I've been coaching volleyball for a lot of years in the fall, and so getting here for homecoming hasn't been able to happen, really. And our children have had a great time here. I always enjoy having a chance to chat and listen to Lauren, as we've had the opportunity to do here again this weekend. We were coming through Washington, D.C. on the way here, and when Mo and I were talking of our meeting with the president, our 9-year-old son, Caleb, aware that we were in D.C., says, "You're meeting with the president?" And I said, "No, not Mr. Obama, but Larry's brother at EMU, the EMU president." He said, "Oh." I have been blessed. Mo has been supportive as she has had to go it alone as a parent on many a long night. I have been blessed with tremendous colleagues and administrative support, as well as dedicated assistant coaches through the years. I'd be remiss not to mention Ron Schwarzenegger for the 19 years that he worked with me at IMS. And I've been blessed with really tremendous students to work with, some of whom are here today, some of whom are here studying at EMU. I was blessed to have professors like Sandy Brownscombe here at EMU and Nelson Good in the Washington Studies Service Year Program, people who encouraged me, who treated me with so much respect, and who gave me opportunities and made it possible for me to do things in different ways to make it all work. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Recently, I sat in my guidance office with a young woman who was burdened. Controlled by her inability to assert herself with another student, she was at the end of herself. She said she feared she'd lose her edge, her toughness, if she gave in and actually expressed how she really felt. I knew this young woman enough to know that tough wasn't a word that came to my mind quickly as a way I would describe her. Rather, a word that described her to me was tender. In her desire to preserve her toughness, she was losing her best self. I encouraged her to let go, to allow herself to be herself, to say what she felt, and that in doing this, she could actually gain strength and in the end be truly toughened. This passage calls us to those places that are not always easy to go. The word yoke hardly seems like a positive. To take Christ's yoke initially seems heavy. To me, it means venturing into the guts of life. As a coach, it can mean talking in the right way with an athlete about his habit of making excuses and how that actually hinders and delays his development. It means taking a phone call at 1:30 on a Saturday morning from one of your basketball players who has hit rock bottom and made some bad choices and needs to talk. Or it might mean talking with a team about the idea of sacrificing for the team, that less of me might well be more for the team. To think that less might mean more can really be hard, but wow, it is a blessing and a thing of beauty when it happens. And as we work and get involved in the guts of life, God calls us, God invites us to come, to be centered, to be grounded, to rest in Him. For myself, I have to find time away from everybody and everything. I will sometimes lock myself in my office for a few minutes and open my Bible and read. I find great solace in Scripture. I'm amazed how when I'm in a nervous or beleaguered state, how calming it can be to simply meditate on Scripture. Centering and resting is also helpful for the teams that I coach. With our volleyball team that I am currently coaching, we have quiet time on the bus ride. For 20 to 30 minutes on the ride, we ask everyone to be quiet, to allow everyone to rest. And it's amazing. What has been a very loud group becomes quiet, and soon a number are sleeping. That rest centers us and energizes us for what lies ahead. The burden becomes lighter, the yoke becomes easier. At home games, we have quiet time in the locker room. We turn out the lights and the players rest. Following this quiet time, we have short pregame devotionals. I am so encouraged and often amazed by the things that these young men and young women come up with in these times. To talk with your teammates about matters of God and to speak from the heart has a great chance to bring a team together. It lightens the burden, it engages the spirit, and it builds confidence and trust. We talk with our players about being a blessing to others. We want to avoid being an irritation, a distraction. Rather, we want people to be blessed in some way by how we play, how we engage each other as a team on the court. How do we cultivate this? Often I will ask three questions of our basketball team and may do this at the end of practice or before or after a game. Do we love God? Do we love ourselves? Do we love each other? It is a reality, a culture we have to develop. 3 years ago, our basketball team's theme was Men Built for One Another. We tried to emphasize thinking of others before ourselves and worked to promote the idea of selflessness. Just Thursday night, we had a volleyball match on the road, and it was great to hear one of the line judges afterwards say how much he found himself enjoying watching how our girls played together, how they talked to each other, how they trusted one another. And I love that kind of comment because it reinforces what we want to be about, and it means even more sometimes when it comes from those outside our circle. It is awesome when you have a team that loves being together, that really likes each other, that loves each other. It is a gift. I've often thought teams have a chance to be a microcosm of the church, where we trust one another and build each other up. There's a couple guys that are here today from 1984, a team that didn't win more than we lost, but it was a team that kind of set a foundation for how this works. That team loved each other. And I'll never forget those guys. You know, Doug Hosteller, Larry and Hosteller, they're here today. They were part of a foundation for how this thing was going to work in our program. And finally, recently at another volleyball game against one of our rivals, I was struck by something I had never thought of in quite this way. This came after Doug Nice had asked me to speak on this theme of coming unto me. It was before the match started. We were standing and the national anthem was being played. These verses from Matthew 11 were running through my mind, and for some reason, my mind drifted to the words from the Statue of Liberty, where it speaks to the idea of bringing your tired, your hungry, and your poor. It was someone's picture of what America could be, a kind of refuge for the forsaken. It sounded a little bit like something from Matthew 11. That night, I had been tired. I was worn. I thought, you know, this might be a great time for me to respond to God's invitation to come, to rest my soul. And over the next moments, my spirit was lifted, and then for some reason, the experience evoked some emotion within me. And when the anthem was over and we were preparing to play, I asked the kids if their souls were at rest. They looked at me like I was crazy. But I asked again, and afterwards, we talked about it, and I think they understood where I was trying to go with this. And in this, I was reminded of how finite and how limited the power of humankind is to really give rest for those who are heavy laden. Jesus says simply, "Come unto me, and I will give you perfect rest." It has been 30 years already since I graduated from EMU. It's unreal. Time does fly. For those of you guys, that sounded awesome, as by the way. It goes fast. It's amazing. When I was 10 years ago, when I was 42, I'm thinking I'm kind of halfway between college graduation and retirement. Now at 52, I'm thinking it's been 30 years from college, and now it's 30 more years, and I'm 83. Wow. It does cause one to reflect. I'd just like to close by simply saying that coming here this weekend has been a come unto me experience. Willard Mayer, a teacher I had at Rosedale many years ago, he's here. He was a picture of this idea to me, just seeing him, meeting him out here. Mo and I and our family have experienced the goodness and the graciousness of so many people here, and we thank you. May God bless you and give you perfect peace.
Here again, the words of Matthew 11.
Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
This invitation stands at the very heart of the Eucharist celebration, our gathering around the table of our Lord. It is an invitation to come to Jesus, to come in your weariness, come with your burdens, to come and to learn, to come and find rest, to come and commune with Jesus in the gathered community. It's also an invitation to remember what God has done, to listen to God's story again, and to hear that the love of God is greater than any tongue can tell.
Lord, We come to your table with only the offering of ourselves. We come as an act of worship. Let your life nurture our life. Your story tell our story.
The story. That the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, he took a loaf. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat from this. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord, we give you thanks for the brokenness of your body so that we might come and find wholeness, healing, reconciliation, and rest. Bless our time around the table as we eat the bread together. Amen. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Lord, we are grateful for the cup poured out for us, your love poured out so that we might live. We take this cup in celebration of that great thanksgiving that you offer to us again so that we might find rest and that the world might find rest through you. Amen. The invitation is now to come to the table. May the Lord now bless this meal together. Now may the life of Jesus Christ nurture you and engage you, bless and strengthen you, and gift your vision for life and ministry until you gather at this table again. Now go in love, because love alone endures. Go in peace, for it is the gift of God. Go in grace, because God's vision is before you. Go in peace.